This is Doug Miller. I said it last week. Let me say it again. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God's hand is upon us. He knows all of his people, and he loves us with an everlasting love. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand. We are looking at Acts 7 now, and we're looking at the death, actually, of the first Christian martyr, a man named Stephen. And we left off last week in chapter 7. We are looking at his defense, how he defended himself before the Sanhedrin when they had brought in false witnesses to lie against him. And we left off last time at the end of verse 5, and he is talking about Abraham. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to chapter 7 of Acts, and we'll take it up in verse 6 today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You, after all, the only advertisers we have. It's strictly word of mouth and strictly by prayer. And I beg you, write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray. Pray for Dialogue. We cannot exist without you. And we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. I know it's a little difficult to sit down and write a letter and stick it in an envelope and stick a stamp on it, but we are very encouraged to hear from our believers how God is dealing with you, how he's changing your life, how Dialogue is helping you, any questions that we can ask or answer, rather, and any help that we can give you. And as I've said before, we do not put your name on a mailing list. We do not come back and ask you for money. We don't do it. We won't do it. We've never done it. Enough said. Now, we also would like to, If you're on the internet, why just put in Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, and you can get onto our webpage and you can listen to our broadcasts on that webpage. Or you can email us. Dialogue Ministries, once again, all small letters, all one word, at sbcglobal.net. sbcglobal.net. Okay, let's get into chapter 7 here now. We have Stephen talking to these men about Abraham. Now, you would assume that these men in here, we've got scribes in here, we've got Pharisees, we've got people, you could assume, who know the writings of Moses and the Word of God. You'd assume they know about Abraham. Well, I don't know. I don't know what they knew, but I know that Stephen went back to the very beginning of before there were any Jews, really, or any Hebrews even. Abraham was a Gentile, and he is called out of Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia and sent out to a land, and let's pick it up at verse 6, God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years, and the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. Now let's just stop it there for a minute. Let me just comment on this a little bit. We have here a statement about the beginning of everything of these individuals we call the Jews. We have the beginning of that man, Abraham, to whom God said, "In thee and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed." We have faithful Abraham and everything that he did in response to what God told him to do. We see him offering up Isaac. And actually, Stephen just kind of skips over that part. But we have Isaac and we have Jacob, the old heel grasper here, that conniving, underhanded, wheeling-dealing scoundrel that, in spite of himself, God blessed and God broke him, and he became Israel, a prince with God, and gave birth to the 12 patriarchs. And now we get this man, Joseph. We get this man, Joseph, and we're going to hear quite a bit in Stephen's sermon about Joseph. And there's a good reason for it. Because Joseph is, in the Old Testament, a type of Christ. And many of these rabbis, if they knew anything, they understood that Joseph was a type of Christ, just as David was. And this is what caused many of them to think that there would be two different messiahs, a Messiah ben Joseph and a Messiah ben David, and it never occurred to them that the one man, that ben Joseph and ben David, would be the same man, the same Messiah. At a first appearing, rejected as Joseph was, at a second appearing, which is very near at hand, I can assure you, to reign on the throne as David. Now let's take a look at this man Joseph, who was highly revered by these Jews, as Stephen brings it to mind how the 12 patriarchs, or the 11, treated their brother Joseph. They hated him, and they hated him out of envy and spite. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. You can go back and read the story in the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 37, and how he had these dreams about how his brothers would bow down to him, and they hated him. The patriarchs moved with envy in verse 9, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now what we have here, I said we have in Joseph a type of Christ, a picture of Christ. What do we have here? We have a man rejected by his brethren, rejected by the sons of Israel, sold into slavery, taken down into among the Gentiles, where he was honored and where he got a Gentile wife, if you will recall, and where he had children down there, and he reigned and ruled over the Gentile nation of Egypt. What a beautiful picture of Christ, our Lord Jesus, at his first coming, rejected by his own people, and yet now honored among the nations of the Gentiles in many ways, although, of course, as we see it now, even they are turning against him, but that's another story. Let's go on here. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. And you can remember, and you can read about this in Genesis 42 through 45. And, of course, the brethren doesn't really get into it here, but these brethren were frightened to death when they found out, when here was their brother that they had rejected and sold into slavery. And they, you know, they might as well have killed him. He went down into death, as it were. That's how they intended it. And yet he was drawn up out of the pit and sent down into Egypt. And you can remember, you can read about it. When they found themselves face to face with Joseph, they were frightened to death. Friends, let me tell you something. The day is coming. It is at hand. It is not far off, in which Israel, the nation of Israel, above all, will look up and see the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and see our Lord Jesus Christ coming back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and they will mourn for him. They will look on him whom they have pierced, and mourn for him and cry, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," because it is the Lord Jesus who is going to save them, just as it was Joseph, the type of our Lord Jesus, who saved them on this occasion. And that's coming. And for those out there who say, "Oh, I don't believe that," fine, you don't believe it. Big deal. What does it matter whether or not you believe it? I have just told you the truth, and you may believe it or not believe it. It's going to happen. And I'm telling you, the nation of Israel is in for a great surprise. They will bow the knee to him, just as their brethren back here bowed the knee to Joseph. Then sent Joseph, in verse 14, and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Now let me just take a little time over this one. We have plenty of time. We're not in any hurry, are we? I want you to notice the progression here. At first, Joseph was honored. And at first, the people who came down, his brethren, were honored, but not for long. Not for long. Another king arose which did not know Joseph. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in many ways, was honored and glorified among the Gentiles, but I am afraid that those days are long gone. The church today has Laodicea written all over it. And so many of the so-called Christian nations in this world have become post-Christian and non-Christian, and the churches are empty, and the people do not know the Word of God and do not honor our Lord Jesus Christ and have no use for the people of the Lord. And if you say, "Well, that's not so in our country," oh, please, give me a break. You think I'm blind? You think I'm stupid to tell me something like that? Assuming you are trying to tell me something like that. I want you to look at this country we live in. You say, "Well, the churches are full." Yeah, the churches are full, but what do they know of the Word of God? How many are really preaching the gospel out there? I know that 70 to 75% of the American people claim to be born again. But get them aside and ask them how they got born again. Ask them and ask yourself. I mean, if you're out there saying to me, I'm saved, well, ask yourself, how did you get saved? When did you first find out you were lost? How are you being saved? How are you being kept? Could you define the gospel to me right now if I said to you, "Tell me what the gospel is"? I am telling you that our country is far gone toward paganism. And darkness and wickedness, and it's all around us. And we see here exactly what happened in Egypt, and it's happening to us right now. Well, let's go on. Stephen's not through with his sermon yet, is he? He's talking to these Jews. He's reminding them of what they were and what they came out of. If they say, well, you know, remember the Lord Jesus talking to them. You know, all you're out here saying, well, if we had been alive in the day of our fathers, we wouldn't have persecuted and killed the prophets the way they did. The Lord Jesus said, oh, yes, you are testifying against yourselves. You are the children, the offspring of those who persecuted and killed the prophets. You built their tombs among you. They're out there right now. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing and stoning the prophets and those that are sent to you. And over again they have done this. And Stephen's going to remind them of this before the time is over. And I want to tell you that no one is more to be condemned and blamed in our own in this world than our own country here, because we have had so much. We have had the gospel proclaimed. We have had the word of God from the very outset, and we are the ones that have scorned it and spurned it and turned it away. If you don't think we will have a lot to answer for as a nation in the great coming judgment, you got another thing coming. All right, let's go on here. In verse 20, we've got Moses now being born. He was fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him. Okay? He defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. Now, interesting, you get something. Stephen tells us something here that Moses doesn't actually tell us himself back in Exodus. Moses had some desire here to free his brethren. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He may have been raised as an Egyptian, but he knew who he was and he knew what he was. And he had some compassion on his brethren, the Hebrews here. And he was going to deliver them. He thought they would understand this. They didn't understand it at all. Let's go on here and we'll look at it. The next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one another against, saying, sirs, as your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. Now, what do we have here? Well, we see the rejection of Joseph. Now we see the rejection of Moses. Whenever a deliverer was raised up, whenever the Lord sent someone to these individuals, they rejected him. They didn't receive him. And of course, if you're out there saying, well, you're being pretty hard on the Jews here. Yeah, I am. And I intend to be. But, you know, I could be just as hard on the Gentiles. Just happens that Stephen's dealing with the Jews here. He's got a bunch of Jews. And he needs to remind them, and they need to understand, that they rejected these individuals who were sent as deliverers and helpers to them. And that they repeatedly over the years rejected and rejected and rejected. The Lord Jesus said it. Now Stephen is going to remind them of this. We're moving right along here, aren't we? How about we take a look at verse 30? And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of bush, in a fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Now, we are about out of time. I just want to take a little bit of time at the very end here to look at this business of the burning bush. If you go back and read the story in the third chapter of Exodus, you will find Moses, he's out in the desert as a shepherd. He has been out here 40 years, or half of his life up to that time. He was 80 years old, spent the first half of that time in Egypt. Now he's been out in the desert, and he sees this burning bush and says, I'm going to go see what we've got going on here. And what he finds out is that God is in the burning bush. Now think of this. We've got a flame of fire. We have got a bush, which is, if there's anything combustible, it's a bush. And yet the bush is not consumed. Marvelous, beautiful picture here of God in the midst of his people. Those that should be consumed by the burning judgment fire of God are not consumed because they are preserved. We also have a picture here of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this, that God was in him. He was God, and yet he was man. And such a man, a simple, a humble man, a man acquainted with sorrows and grief, from whom Israel hid their faces. They did not want him. They did not want to see him. He did not come unto his own at his first appearing, wearing beautiful garments and in power and with a crown of gold. He came as a humble man, as this man of sorrows of Isaiah 53. This is beautifully pictured in the fire in the bush. Beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus, beautiful picture of the Lord's people with God in their midst. And this is how God appeared to Moses, and he tells him his name, I am. I am the God of thy fathers, and I am here to send you back to Egypt to deliver my people. Now, I don't know if the people were even thinking in terms of deliverance. They were slaves and in bondage. But Moses is on his way back to deliver them. That's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.